Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Madison down the sidelines. Can they catch him? No! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
Gordon again. Inside the five. Touchdown. What a performance by Melvin Gordon.
Chucky Hepburn. Big Ten on the line. Yes!
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
It is the Jump Around, a Badger dedicated show live on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube streams. I am Jim Rutledge alongside Pablo Iglesias. Riley Yauch, all decked out in Badgers behind the glass.
Ready to roll.
Solar Studio. We are ready to roll. We got a full...
I like the suit, though. You're looking sharp.
I had the opportunity earlier today to talk with Barry Richter. Barry Richter, son of Pat Richter, but Barry Richter, former NHL player, former Olympian, and a pillar of the Madison community.
A goat.
Yeah, as part of the Madison Area Sports Commission event that I spoke at today at the Madison Curling Club, and then also Casey Fitzrandolph, a gold medalist speed skater from the Madison area as well. So I was speaking at that, and tonight I'm going to an event at the Madison Concourse with the NFL Alumni Association. So I figured I'd just be dressed up, and the Badgers volleyball team is in the Final Four.
Yeah,
that'll be right here on ESPN Madison. We're going to have a special edition of the Jump Around at 6 o'clock, and Devin Robinson is going to join the show in a little bit. But before we get to Devin, the Badgers are patting themselves on the back because they have finally caught up with the rest of college football, Pablo.
We did it. Hang up the banner. Let's do it.
Yes. So Wisconsin introduces Badger Athletic Partners, a new dedicated NIL entity under Learfield. It acts as a full-service agency connecting athletes with corporate sponsors and managing deals end-to-end. Wow. What a novel idea. Are the Badgers the first team to do this, Pablo?
No.
Are they closer to, like, the last team to do this?
I would hope that they're not the last.
They have to hire five new full-time staff members, but then it'll have one of the largest NIL departments nationally.
Yeah. It just felt like a massive word salad when I read this whole thing, but, you know, to an extent, it is exciting to know that there is a step being taken forward, but truly, it still feels like that on and on. We need to see progress now. It's enough of talking about it. It's enough about talking the talk. Walk the walk. Start taking the steps to move forward and contribute. Because, again, if I'm a fan, let me just ask you, if I'm a fan, what does this say to me? It's okay, there's investments. They're doing something here. But truly, it's again, we need to see more action. We now need to see what is Wisconsin going to do. And I'm sure, again, this is the infant stages, don't get me wrong, but don't feel like that this is the big old win that you're hoisting up the national championship trophy. And I don't think Wisconsin is necessarily doing
that.
Yes,
they are.
But
they are.
You believe so?
I mean, that was... all of a sudden, his name's escaping me, the big time don't. Ted Kellner,
yeah.
Is on KBN and telling the world that, we're going to have a new revenue stream. It goes back to the same damn thing I said last time. This is not a new revenue stream when you account for the fact that everyone else is already doing this. So, like, congratulations on catching up with your competition. What do you want, a cookie?
Yeah.
The Badgers are not supposed to be, the way I understand it, is they're not going to be able to operate like Michigan or Ohio State, or they don't want to operate like that, where they're going to be able to spend money and use football as a loss leader of like, hey, we're going to lose money in football, but the attention it brings, it will bring more people into the university. And in the long run, yes, we lose money on football, but in the long run, we'll make money for the university with brand awareness and all of that. That's not how Wisconsin wants to operate. Instead, they're trying to operate, you could look at it like the Milwaukee Brewers or Oakland Athletics, Moneyball, which means you have to be smarter and more nimble and more forward-thinking than everyone else, which means you can't be dead last in adding something that is rudimentary in the NIL thing. I'm glad the Badgers are doing it, And I hope this isn't too little too late for the Mac and Fickell era, but what in God's name were we doing the last few years?
Great question. I don't feel like that it's too little too late, but with your...
For this specific regime.
Let me say this. Let me back up and say this. I go more towards your mindset of, we got to operate like the Brewers or all this too, because again, you don't have to. You would choose to do that. I feel like it's a choice if the Wisconsin Badgers want to do that, especially particular towards football, because again... At least from my side of it, I don't know if they're necessarily at Yankee level, but they're very close to it because of just the name status in itself. Now, from the success standpoint, unfortunately, it's just not there. But from the name recognition from the brand, we've talked about this before, too. There is a brand issue right now. But the fact that this is a consistent thing where it's like, what's happening at Wisconsin? On the flip side of it, it's because people know what you can be. It's what people know who you are supposed to be, who you've been, what you've been in the past. So again, you don't have to operate in this money balls type of scenario. Yes, you want to work smarter. You want to work smarter over or not working harder. But at that point, too, you are Wisconsin at the end of the day. You are one of the top premier names, in my mind at least, in college football. So how can we get back to that? How can we keep playing Powerball versus trying to outsmart one or the other or try to play this 4D game of chess when we're just having checker pieces?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not sure how many people would say that Wisconsin is an elite brand in college football. Sure. I think a very good brand. But that's my question, Pablo. Like, does Wisconsin have to operate like this? I was doing some research. So first off, I wrote here on the show sheet, like, one of the main purposes of this new initiative, Badger Athlete Partners, is because Wisconsin wants to compete in NIL without repeatedly tapping donors for cash. So I did some research. How do these top programs operate? A lot of them tap really rich donors for cash. Yes. Consistently. So do we not have enough big, like, deep-pocketed donors to keep up with the big boys? Now the Texas Techs of the world, Texas A&M, Texas, Ohio State, Oregon.
Riley, let's put yourself in the shoes that you win the Powerball this Saturday.
Yes.
And the Badgers come calling on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
How much you want to give to this specific program with this specific coach in this specific thing as you're a big-time donor?
I don't think we'd hear from Riley if he won the Powerball.
It's a really good question. I'm going into hiding, but I would want to be contacted, and I'd want to have the opportunity to sit down with both Mac and Fickell, as many people as they would let me talk to, explain, give me the pitch, give me exactly what they're doing, sell me on the vision, and I feel like, me personally, I'd be a pretty easy guy to sway. If you wine and dine me, you say the right things, I'm going to donate because I want Wisconsin football, I want Wisconsin athletics as a whole to succeed. And I feel like there got to be people out there like me with more money.
But look at it like this. How many times, because this is the problem, the Badgers come back with the same story over and over again to the same people. How many times are you giving that money?
That's the question. Probably twice. And then what? Once you hit the third time, then I'd probably start pinching.
Wouldn't you rather want a consistent basis? That's just me. Instead of saying, and you always got to feel like you're tapping and asking donors, wouldn't you want to build that consistent basis? That's what I want to ask real quick.
So I'll put it like this, and I know we need to move on to the next segment because we got Devin Robinson coming up. I work with a lot of businesses, and you can use a car.
I can tell from the suit.
Yes.
You look sharp.
You can actually use this. We'll use a car dealer, just a generic car dealer as an example here. So a auto dealer has service, right? Mm-hmm. Service is the consistent moneymaker that pays the bills at most auto dealers. I don't know if you guys knew that. That is what keeps the doors open. That is what pays everyone's salary throughout there outside of like the salespeople's commissions. Like, that is what keeps the lights on. And there's a lot of businesses. If you look at home remodeling companies, a lot of them will do behind-the-scenes work for big builders, and they'll do all the trim work or they'll do all the framing work. It's not sexy, it's not fun, but it pays the bills. Mm-hmm. So you got that. And so you can look at it like this, and then they have their second revenue stream. A home remodeler could be the actual home remodeling side of things. That's where there's at least some revenue to be had. For the auto dealers, it's in selling the cars because there's incentives from the actual automakers, and then obviously there's money to be made from the consumer. So you have two streams of revenue. You have your set base stream of revenue, which should be the donors to at least make sure, hey, we're functioning at a normal level. And now you can try to reach out to Learfield. They should have reached out to Good Karma. But, I mean, in general, if you were going to reach out and get someone to sell this and work an NIL deal, that's your cherry on top. So you need two streams of revenue. Mm-hmm. So I get what they're trying to say, but that's the way I understand this, is that however you want to look at it, if you want to look at the donors and their consistent donations are what is going to be your base and keep the lights on every year, and then you're going to rely on Learfield in this scenario to go out and sell and get the money for your program, that's what it looks like, instead of we have one revenue stream and everyone has to drink from the same trough, like you see in like Lion King, where they all come and drink the water, and then when the water's dried up, they all die.
Yep.
And we're dead right now. So we got to figure out a way to work around it. That's the way that I understand it. I'm not saying I'm right. I don't work in NIL, but that's the way that I understand a lot of businesses work.
I think we should get you in there.
We should. Let's get to the clip of the week.
Around these parts, there's only time for the best of the Badgers.
We don't know exactly where we are right now.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better significantly.
They're spoiled rotten.
This is the clip of the week on the Jump Around.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
This is the clip of the week. Last week, we had Tarik Saleh talking about James Madison and Tulane and how much they deserve or how much they don't deserve to be in the playoff. Here is Barry Alvarez's retort to claims from this week on the Barry Alvarez Show.
I take the other side of the fence on that. I think it's healthy to have someone like James Madison in the tournament. Let's see what they can do. You might be surprised how well they play with the scholarship limit as it is today. You may be surprised how well they play in this tournament. So I'm anxious to see where they are and how they compete.
So my first question for you guys, are you more on Barry's side, where you're happy James Madison's in and Tulane, you think it's healthy for the sport, or Tarik, where you'd rather see Notre Dame, Texas, BYU, and Vandy in instead?
I will quote Derek, what he's famously known for on the Barry Alvarez Show, to say, "Amen, coach!" That is exactly what I want to talk about, because I am totally on Barry's side of this, because I said this last week. We need parity in this tournament. We need that. That is exactly why they ended up creating this whole thing, was to get parity, to get these schools to get the opportunity to ball out and be on national TV. Yes, I know there's the rating side of it, but you know what? Let's have some fun with it, too. Let's kind of make this a mini March Madness in a sense, even though it's a home and away game still. It's exciting if you're an alum of James Madison. I'm a mid-major guy, too, although I'll never see a football playoff appearance. It's still fun to see when your school is in there and you're a proud alum. Jim, I know, too, for you, being an FAU guy in basketball when they made the Final Four run. That's awesome to get to see that. So it goes more than just the players, and it's beyond the team and it's beyond the program. It's about the alumni, too, and it's about the community. So I'm all for it. I love that, again. Like what Barry said, it's healthy for the sport, and it just creates a lot of excitement. And the last thing, too, Kurt Cignetti coming from James Madison, too. Because, I mean, again, it just shows that the success continues. I mean, it's not like that he just fell off a tree and randomly showed up. He started at James Madison, brought his guys over to Indiana, and now he's got the success here, and now has the top seed in the college football playoff. There's a ripple effect from there.
Yes, I agree, and I like to see these teams in there. Indiana, someone new to root for, and I'm sorry we can put Indiana close to James Madison and Tulane over the last few years. Indiana's got, what, Riley Nowakowski on that team. He made some big plays in that Big Ten title game. That's a former Badger. Bob Bostead with that team as well, former Badger. I think there's a few other former Badgers around that Indiana team. So there's some reason to watch, but I get it. It's different than basketball. I hope both these teams show up, and I'll just go to Boise State. Boise State showed up, and they represented well, and Boise State used it as a springboard to be a team that's consistently in the top 25 for a long period of time. And so hopefully James Madison and Tulane set the table for other schools to go out there and, I don't know, go out and prove that they belong as well.
Yeah, I hope one of them springs the upset. I'm not really sure it's going to happen, but I tweeted about this. I think this is a really refreshing take from someone who has a lot of gravitas in the college football world, because a lot of them are saying that just the big brands matter, and I think we should care just as much about the team from Harrisonburg, Virginia, and their fans and their traditions and everything they do, just as much as we do about all the ones in Columbus and Tuscaloosa and Eugene and all those places. So that I hope they do well as well. But quickly, before we move on to the Twitter portal, college football playoff starts tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, on ESPN. Who do you guys have as your national champion for the 2025-26 college football season? Let's start with you, Jim.
Man, this is going to be tough. You know what? I'm just going to go with Indiana. Let's just hope they do it. I don't know if they will, but they have the best quarterback. They have the best player that matters. Cignetti seems like a guy that knows how to win. And they'd be really fun. I feel like they will run into a buzzsaw at some point. But at the same time, a quarterback is the equalizer. And Mendoza is smart. He's likable. The team follows him. And I'm going to be rooting for Indiana. So why not just pick the team I'm going to be rooting for?
All right. Fair enough. Pablo, who you got?
It is hard to repeat as a champion. It's hard to go back-to-back, but I am sticking with Ohio State. And part of the reason why is looking at that photo of Julian Sain, it started to go viral on social media when he had just one person in the scrum at his Heisman, the Heisman media availability. Mm-hmm. He had one person, and the internet just exploded saying, this man is never going to lose a football game ever again based off of that. So you know what? Let's ride the vibes. Let's have some fun. I'm going with Ohio State. Let's go back to back.
Yeah, I agree, unfortunately, Pablo. I don't want to see Ohio State win, but it's just so hard to pick against them. They had another tough loss to Indiana, the Big Ten championship game. Ryan Day is going to have those guys ready to go. Texas Tech, I really want to pick them. Their defense is going to be awesome. Really excited to see Jacob Rodriguez, but until they are the champions, until they are dethroned. So I'm going with the Buckeyes.
All right, let's get to the Twitter portal.
It's time.
It is time to enter the Badgers Twitter portal, and let's start with some transfer portal discussion. I don't know if you guys saw this, Pablo. I think we were talking about it, but
yep.
Quarterback Bo Prabula of Missouri has entered the transfer portal, and for those that are unfamiliar, Bo Prabula said this last year after decommitting from Penn State and committing to Missouri.
My plan was to go to Wisconsin, like, right away.
Plan was to go to Wisconsin right away? How would you guys feel? Well, they picked Billy Edwards before he entered the portal. They decided on Billy Edwards Jr., so.
A good plan. Good idea.
That's unfortunately how it shook out. But how would you guys feel about Bo Prabula as the Badgers quarterback next year, and do you think it's possible?
Well, apparently Badger fans want him more than they want Raiola.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness.
He caught some heat on that one.
Goodness.
That went viral.
Gracious. Beggars, and we are literal
viral
beggars.
Viral Jim once again.
Beggars can't be choosers, for the love of God. Dylan Raiola's last year stats outperformed anything all the Badger quarterbacks did together.
Yeah.
It is really funny that a poverty-ass program like ours right now is like, but we don't want Dylan Raiola. Really?
This is where we're at.
All right.
Let's think about how expensive is he going to... I feel like Dylan Raiola is going to be charging a ridiculous amount of money for himself.
He's already got his own Adidas deal, doesn't he? He has his own partnership and he has his own deal already. I mean, who knows what he's going
to
be bringing in.
I get it. There's a lot of layers to it, but it was the instant... looking or
like we're too good for this guy.
Yeah, that was it. We're not too good for anyone at this point. Anyone is too good for us.
Want Dylan Raiola?
I mean, we can get into the football side of it. Fine. That's fine. I'm not going to balk. We can get into the cost of it and all of that. But to act like if Raiola wanted to come here, and we'd say no, then everyone should be fired because you should at least be bringing them in to see what's going on, because we have crap at quarterback for the last 3 years. And he could come in and be great. I don't know who this Bo Prabula is. Maybe he's good.
Yeah, he did very well at Missouri. Yep. I think he'd fit Jeff Grimes' scheme. So very mobile.
That's the thing that scares me. Fits Jeff Grimes' scheme. Jeff Grimes is not Matt LaFleur or whoever you think is a good... I mean, no offense to him, but like, I hope he's smart enough to fit his scheme, which evidence shows because he had Zach Wilson at BYU, good enough to fit the scheme around the quarterback. I don't want an offensive coordinator that says like, I don't want anyone too talented because they got to fit my scheme. I want a guy that can run and throw, but he's mid at both. Like, that's what I want because that's my scheme. No, I want who's the best. I'll fit my scheme around them. And Jeff Grimes shows history with the way he's called games and the players he's had that he can. adjust to more talented quarterbacks.
That would be just a backwards way of thinking if it's just try to find a guy that fits your system and work around that. No,
that's how fans think. That's not how good coaches think. And I don't think Jeff Grimes thinks like that.
No, no. I don't think he thinks like that necessarily. But it's, I would go for it. Because, well, at this rate, too. Because, again, you might as well just take your shots anywhere. You might as well just go for it. As much as I want to say, hey, let's be at the table. Let's see, you know, just keep throwing it out there and see that you're competing for the big names. Go after the big name. You have committed yourself in terms of this next level of NIL. You've tried to do what you can. Now go after him. I mean, if he said basically right there that he said, I was going to go to Wisconsin. If he is out there admitting this and talking about this publicly, maybe that's a little bit of, breadcrumbing? I don't know if that's the right.
Yeah,
was it a little breadcrumbing
like,
there?
That sounds like breadcrumbing.
I mean, to be it's fair, like, hey, that was a year ago he said that.
Hmm.
That was before his season at Mizzou. Okay, so okay. I don't know if the feelings would still be there.
They could be bad feelings, too.
Exactly. I maybe hope now Wisconsin we got does bad their blood. Due diligence. I think he would be a fantastic fit, and I think he's one of the best options out there now that his name is in the portal.
Sometimes some space away is okay.
And everybody needs a little time away from each other. I think Chicago says that.
Yes, very, very true, very true. Now, quickly, as Devin Robinson is ready to go, before we get to her, and she can comment on this, Nebraska fans, a little whiny, a little sad, making some excuses after their loss to Texas A&M last week. This Herd at Sports coming up with all the injuries, all the possibility, all the reasons why Nebraska lost and refusing to admit that A&M was just the better team. Dr. Marte, of course, our hero flying in with the nobody cares. So my question for you guys, Nebraska volleyball fans, are horribly annoying. When it comes to college sports, in your opinion, who is the most annoying fan base to deal with?
I will say this. One, I feel like the Nebraska program is better than the actual fans of Nebraska program.
I'm not dissing the program. I know you're not. The program's fantastic.
I know you're not. It's not coming from the program. Annoying fan bases, huh? You know, Miami can be very annoying. And it's mainly because of what was down there. It's very much a vibes fan base. There are diehards, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But Miami is a fan base because of the U, because of the colors, because of the culture, because of the vibes, draws in a lot of casuals. So this is more specific to the casuals, and I think Miami is a program that draws in a lot of casuals that annoy me with Miami more than, like, I know there are plenty of diehard Miami Hurricane fans who would rival anything a Badger fan is, but the Badgers, I don't think, draw in as many casuals as Miami does, and so the Miami Hurricane casual fans that get real talkative at the end of the year, they're very annoying.
I'm gonna go with some recency bias here. Wisconsin playing Texas and just hearing time after time, we are Texas, every single time in that volleyball game. It annoyed the hell out of me, because again, it's cool after the first few points, but then after, by the time we're in the third or fourth set, thankfully it only went four sets, it just got repetitive. It's fine if you do that a couple times, but It's just repetitive. It's way too repetitive. It annoyed me a little bit. I know it's similar to Miami. Texas does feel like it's a lot of vibes out there. There's a lot of diehards, but also, what the heck are we doing? Let's come up with a different tradition, shall we?
Yeah, and we are. Everyone does that. It's lame. SEC fans are up there. Iowa fans are up there. But Minnesota fans take the cake. They're the absolute worst.
Fair enough.
They suck. But that's it for the Twitter portal.
All right, before we get to Devin Robinson, if better sleep has been hard to come by, you're not alone, and the right mattress can make all the difference. That's why Helix Sleep and Steinhoffels have teamed up to bring their award-winning mattresses to Steinhoffels. Now you can try Helix in person, something you can't do just anywhere. Right now, Steinhoffels is offering 20% off all Helix mattress orders just for our listeners. Head to steinhoffels.com to learn more. Helix Sleep at Steinhoffels. Better sleep starts now. Devin Robinson starts in 30 seconds.
This season, bring home the joy with Steinhoffel's 12 Days of Christmas sale. Save 10% on the styles you've been wishing for and pay later with 18-month 0% financing. Don't miss incredible holiday deals like a queen mattress $399, this sofa $399, a queen bed $399, this dining table $689. Get more holiday for less during Steinhoffel's 12 Days of Christmas sale. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com.
And we are thrilled to be joined by Devin Robinson, a champion, a first-team All-Big Ten, All-American, and now reigning MVP of your current league, Devin.
On. Flex on us.
Yes, you deserve all the flowers we just sent your way, Devin. So thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on your MVP award.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, it feels so weird to be talking to you guys because it's nighttime here.
Are you staying up and watching the game, though? I know you said you got an early Friday morning, but you trying to stay up tonight and watch the game?
I can't because I don't like get streaming out here. Like, I haven't been able to watch any of the games. I've only been able to see like clips and stuff.
Gotcha. Because what is 7 hour difference, right?
Why are you looking at me? I have no idea.
Well, no. Well, I'm asking Devin too. 7 hour difference for you while you're out there, right?
Yeah, it is.
Oh man, yeah.
So as you kind of follow along with this team the best you can, what kind of memories does it kind of dig up for you? I'm sure positive ones. And then also what kind of similar vibes, similar aspects of this team that gets you excited that they can win again?
Yeah, I mean, getting to practice with them in the summertime, I could already feel the vibes were different. I was like, this is not like last year's team. This feels like 2021 again, where everyone's just kind of vibing and like playing free. And I feel like towards the middle of their season, they had a little bit of a slump, and I feel like you got to go down to go back up, and they're shooting up. I mean, well, not like, you know, drugs or nothing,
yeah.
I feel like they're
appreciate you
so
keeping
free.
It real, Dev.
Yeah, they're just playing really free, and I feel like that's really similar to how we were in 2021.
Yeah, Devin, again, going back to 2021 and that season, you were still learning Wisconsin volleyball again. But you were a massive contributor, though, too, off the bat. What did you learn in that experience? And just, again, those memories that come back to you from that 2021 season. It was magical for all of us. But for you on that other side, let us know, you know, what were some of your favorite things about that?
My favorite things about it is that everything that we worked on that season like came to fruition on the court. It was like everything you worked on, all you had to do was trust your training, and you knew that you did all the work to get there. Now just do what you came to do. You know, it's not stressing yourself out. Like I have to do this thing different. It's like, no, you've been doing the right stuff this whole time. Just go out there and kill it.
So as someone who watches volleyball, but I'm still trying to learn everything, who on this team is the most like played the position that you were playing at Wisconsin? And then how much fun would it have been to have someone like Charlie setting you up? And I know you had great teammates, but Charlie seems to be like, I always compare it more to a point guard. So whatever your favorite point guard is out there, she is out there setting everyone up for everything throughout this tournament and the regular season.
I mean, I felt when I was there, I hit off of Sydney Hilly, who is very, very decorated player. And I feel like she's very similar to Charlie in the way that she's able to just throw it up in a sense where it feels like you can do anything with the ball. And I hitting off Charlie, even though I only really ran the slide, like the one-legged thing with her my last season, but it was like the most perfect set I could have hit every single time. And I know that Carter and Mimi and Allie are all feeling it, so...
Yeah, Devin, again, talking about the chemistry, I love that you pointed out that you got to practice with this team over the summer. Just seeing the chemistry, again, just knowing that this group was growing together pretty quickly. You know, again, the excitement that you had, just seeing that from this side and seeing where they're at today. You know, how exciting is that to get to see them from that starting point and seeing where they're at now?
I mean, Carter Booth is one of my best friends, and it makes me a little emotional. Like, I found out that they were going to the Final Four at 4 a.m. when I woke up to go pee. Like, I saw it on my phone, and I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to the Final Four. And I texted Carter immediately, started like in all caps, like, yes, let's go. And then I don't know if you guys saw her interview where she dropped the F-bomb.
I was like,
that was hardcore. That was so sick. And I was like, Carter, exactly what you said in your interview, go out and do that. Like, you're so ready. Like, feeling all the feels for them. It's just like, I'm so proud to be a Badger and so proud to have played for a school like that.
I want to ask that follow-up too, because I was originally going to ask. I know that you probably did see the quote, or you saw her post-game interview, but again, I know how close you and Carter have been. Her ascension, her growth, she's been a massive part of this team and this program. From your perspective, how have you seen her grow as, again, friend, person, volleyball player, all of those things?
Yeah, I I just realized I never really answered your question, but yeah, seeing Carter grow throughout this season has been like really emotional for me, because I know how all the struggles that she went through, like mentally off the court, and just to see her blossom, not only like as a player and a leader, but as a person as well. It's just like, I love to see my friends grow. So it's been really awesome to see.
Yeah, and I'm old enough to remember seeing her dad play basketball in the NBA, and obviously still got ties to the NBA. So when I first saw her name, and I was like, is that? And it was Carter Booth's, and obviously something very fun to watch here. So with this team coming up here, like, what makes Badger volleyball a program that has been able to sustain greatness for so long? Because I feel like when I've talked to Ben Brust about it with the Badger basketball team when Bo Ryan was here, was that the players pass down standards to other players, and that's how you maintain this level. And it's so important for each player, each generation, yours passing it down to the next generation and keep on passing it down, to maintain that level of excellence and accountability.
Yeah, well, you just kind of took all the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, it really comes from the players. I know, like, you have to have a solid coaching staff, but it really ultimately comes down to the girls and what they want to do for each other. It's like, you can tell that every time they step on the court, they want to play for each other. They want to win so bad for the girl next to them. And I feel like that's something we've really instilled within the Badger program. It's like, don't win just for yourself. Win for the girl next to you because you want them to get to next. You want to bring them to next, and it's not just for you.
Devin, to pull back the curtain and just want to get your perspective on this too, because again, we know that going into Texas, or even what Texas A&M did at Nebraska, neither of those situations are easy to pull out the wins. If you're taken down undefeated Nebraska at the time, if you win three sets to one at Texas, in those environments, when you were in those situations, what are those environments like when you're pretty much in a hostile environment playing to try to knock off the home team out of the bracket and move on?
Yeah, it literally feels like, what I remember most about high pressure situations is that I could literally hear my heartbeat in my ears, and that's all I could hear. And I was like, all right, like just breathe, like it's time. And then as soon as I blow the whistle, it's like, I hear nothing but my teammates' voices, and it's kind of like a flow state, honestly. That's the best word I can give it.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I thought this was last year, or at least one of the few years, when you were with the program, I thought, from what I remember, your pregame speech to everybody else was, if you're not feeling butterflies, then, I forgot what it is, something like, if you're not feeling butterflies, then you have no emotions, essentially, like something like that was your pregame speech. I know you always brought intensity and energy. What was that pregame speech again?
I was like, if you're not nervous, then you're like not alive. Then you're not ready to play. It's like, you have to feel something, otherwise you can't bring all the feels and everything that you need to the game.
And you've been kind of dancing around this a little bit, so I'll ask specifically, how does the team balance aggression and playing their best with these nerves? Because these are bigger. Every level, the nerves get a little bit bigger, and obviously you have experience with it. These women have experience playing in big games, but each one, or big matches, each one gets bigger.
Balancing the nerves between aggression and nerves, I feel like I don't really know, like I really don't know how to put it into words. It just happens. It's like, you take in all of your feelings. You're like, okay, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. I would always take a deep breath and replant my feet, and then it was go time. I mean, just going back to trusting your training, and I'm sure that's what they've been taught to do with a lot of the mindfulness skills that I know the program puts them through. So I'm sorry, I don't really know how to give you a specific answer for that.
Hey, you're the only one on this panel that has any opportunity to give any insight in how to perform at a peak level. Sorry, Pablo.
Oh, you're good. Devin, I think really last thing for me, again, we know what's at stake. It's a Final Four appearance, hopefully going for national title number two and continue that magical run. If you're in the locker room, I know you got to work with this team over the summer, but if you're in that locker room tonight, what are you saying to them as they get ready for this game?
What I want to say, I'm pretty sure I can't just start cussing and say what I want. Like, I can't pull a Carter right now. But I would just tell them, play for each other, play hard, because you don't want to leave this court without any regrets. Like, this could be our last time playing with this team ever, and you don't want to have any regrets. So go out there and, you know, get to it.
So one of the things that, and I'll kind of end it with this, and it's kind of off what you said. I did a panel earlier today with two former Olympians, and both of them talked about, one, the effort it takes to get there to be an Olympian, but the other part of it was that as an athlete, especially at this level, if you know you went out there and played at your absolute best, then you can leave, and this is kind of what you're talking about, then you can leave the court, in this case, happy. You know that you exhausted everything that you could do, and sometimes people are better than you, but then you also have this confidence of like, but if I do that, nobody's better than us.
Yeah, that is true. It's like everyone at their best is like, we can't fault, like, no one, don't doubt yourself. No one have any doubt in the training that we've done. We've done the work. Just go out there, and if they beat us and we gave it our all, then you can pat yourself on the back, go back and watch the film, and what can you learn from the team that just beat you, and then use it against them next year.
Well, Devin, great insight. Thank you for, I don't know if this is staying up late or whatever, but thanks for hopping on with us later in your time zone there. We really appreciate it, and we're all very excited for this Badger volleyball team. Thanks for sharing your insight.
MVP.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. That's Devin Robinson, MVP intern as well, and part-timer here for ESPN Madison over the years as well.
She kicked butt and took names, man.
She did. That's Pablo Iglesias. I'm Jim Rutledge. Riley Yauch behind the glass here. We have a little bit of an extra at the end here, so I'm going to wrap up the show, but then we're going to play a interview that we had with Social House Vodka founder Kerry Joshi of Social House Vodka, who he partnered with the Varsity Collective in Wisconsin Athletics in a hope to raise some more NIL funds for Badger Athletics. So that interview is coming up right now. Welcome into a special edition of the Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube stream. And we get a chance to talk to a lot of very cool people on this show. And today we're adding another one, and that is the president and CEO, or founder and CEO of Social House Vodka, Kerry Joshi. And Kerry, thank you so much for hopping on with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and we're excited about what you guys are doing for the Wisconsin Badgers and University of Wisconsin Athletics. But I first, tell our listeners a little bit about this, the story of Social House Vodka, before we get into the partnership.
Well, Social House was founded simply on the belief that life's better when we're together. You know, we make a premium craft vodka that's built around high quality ingredients, community, and most of all, connection. So from day one, our focus has always been about giving back to the folks that support us and the folks that celebrate with us. So people and purpose.
That's fantastic. And hopefully Badger fans will have a lot to celebrate for Wisconsin Athletics going forward. And obviously this football team, but we're the home of Badger volleyball. They're in the Final Four, which is very exciting. So
100%.
lots of great things happening here. But with Social House Vodka, you have a new partnership with University of Wisconsin Athletics. And this kind of deepens that relationship and commitment you have with Badger Nation. So how did this come about, and why Wisconsin?
Well, this partnership grew quite naturally through relationships we had in Wisconsin. We had a number of friends who lived there who then quickly became early investors in the company, which in turn then introduced us to UW Athletics and Badger Connect. And once we met those folks, the alignment was immediate. We share the commitment to student athletes, tradition, and like I said, the meaningful affect to the community.
Yeah, and so there is a obviously a specific vodka bottle that will be sold that will help then raise a varsity bottle that will help raise money for University of Wisconsin student athletes.
Absolutely. Yes, we've got a branded bottle that we were working with Badger Connect, and now through the partnership now with UW Athletics, the bottles for available for sale online, shipping to 48 states and all across Wisconsin through our partners with local distributors.
And have you done something like this before with any other schools? Is this something that you're trying out with Wisconsin?
Well, we've done this with a number of other schools across the nation. We believe in the passion of college sports. I don't think there's anything more exciting in a community than college sports.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And obviously here at Wisconsin, we're all excited. And, you know, we support our Wisconsin Badgers. And obviously we love to have a good time here. What you know, with your history of, you know, whatever you know about Wisconsin, what do you, what are some suggestions you have people to do some mixers with your new varsity drink here for Badger fans, the vodka? What are some options that you might suggest for people?
Well, that's the great thing about vodka. Vodka can fit the moment or the occasion, whether it be a Badger Bloody Mary in the morning or a sophisticated martini in the evening. It really is your choice. The best thing, as long as you're doing it together. So it's too bad we didn't have a cocktail we could share right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you're ever in Madison, we'll happy to have you over here to our studios here in downtown Madison. And we probably do share a lot of the same connections and friends. Anything else you want us to know about the new Varsity Vodka bottle that's, you know, coming out and will be part of what's going on here?
Well, I think the biggest thing about the partnership and the biggest thing about the bottle is that it really gives everyone an opportunity to celebrate the things that mean most to us. Everyone in Wisconsin lives the Badger Nation, eats the Badger, talks the Badger Nation, and it's all about the Badger. It's a way of life. It's not just a spirit or a vodka. Mm-hmm. So when we get these opportunities to get together, what we like to see, what we hope people find is that, you know, they keep doing what they're doing, enjoying their lives. And in this way, when they participate and buy the Badger Connect Social House Vodka Varsity Bottle, it's a way of meaningfully giving back to the school. So that's exciting, I think, for everyone to know.
Yeah, and so keep an eye out for the Varsity Vodka, you know, from Social House. Kerry, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and thank you on behalf of Badger Nation to make this commitment to help Wisconsin student-athletes and hopefully help Wisconsin athletics grow.
Absolutely. We're excited to do it.
This has been a special edition of The Jump Around on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube stream. Thanks for watching.